Sensor Global saves lives with automatic compliance and manages smoke alarms, gas and water leak detection with 24/7 remote management. It provides complete control, reduced risks and improved compliance for property managers. To find out more, speak to Anthony Booth or head over to sensorglobal.com.
Right. Good morning, everyone. I'm Beck Holton. I am completely taking over and hijacking Ash's podcast. So good morning, Ash, or good afternoon, Ash.
Good morning, Beck. How are you?
This is so weird. I'm good. I'm really excited. I've had so much good feedback just on socials around doing this with you, because you are always in not the hot seat. You're always driving these podcasts. So I think you would be the first person, if I was still a podcast, that I'd want on there. So I thought this is a really good opportunity to dig deep and find out lots of questions. I've got lots of questions about business, and I've also got some personal questions. So permission to be open with everything?
100%. Go for it. I'm excited because I wasn't sure if there was going to be lots of questions, because I feel like I'm quite an open book and that everyone knows everything as well. So I'm so interested in what questions people have that they haven't come to me directly and asked.
So just for the listeners, I haven't given you any heads up on these questions. I've kept them well guarded, and up until 5 minutes ago, you didn't even know if we had questions. So I think this is going to be super cool. So first of all, and I know you think that you are an open book and everyone knows everything about you, but we know everything about you currently. We don't know everything about you, you know, from where you started and why you got into real estate. So do you want to give us your 5-minute elevator story?
Yeah, excellent. So I came out of school and I went and studied naturopathy, and I really love alternative medicine, and I did about 2.5 years. And then what happened was I got to the end where there was a lot of prac hours, and I think I had about 100 massage hours I had to do. And I had sort of finished my study, but I had that. And so I thought at that time, I'll go get myself a little job. And I got a job at a Century 21 office in Fremantle. And I would have been 17, 18. So I just did that just to supplement me studying. And then as you do when you're 18, you get a little taste for money. I think my first full-time job was probably about like $20,000 a year or something like that. And I really enjoyed working. And what happened was, for those that knew, it was Tony Bonavita who owned Century 21 in Fremantle. He was quite well known in the area, and that was about 24 years ago now. Anyway, he passed away, and the people that purchased that business were a flight attendant and a pilot who had no idea of real estate. And I was reception, and they honestly were clueless. I have no idea why they even bought it. And so I ended up having to jump in to help them with the property management. I ended up having to do their pays because they didn't know how to use MyOB at the time. I did Strata, and I just basically was helping them. And because I'm a doer, I was happy to research and work it out, and that's what I did. And I ended up just working there for a number of years and learned a lot from going into the deep end with their real estate business. They did subsequently sell, but I moved over to a couple of other franchises, and I had a pretty crappy boss at one stage. And when I had that crappy boss, I was like, I'm not working for ourselves again. And it just turned out that at that same time that I was a bit disgruntled in my role, my brother-in-law was also having a not great experience in where he was working. He was a director for another company. And we just said, you know what, let's just go together. So the other reason, driving force for doing that, was because I was 22 when I started SoCo, and I was always independent, didn't want to rely on my then husband to work, and I always wanted to bring money into the family. So I figured, okay, at 22, if I get into business now, I'll have 5 years before I'm ready to have children, and then the business should be set up. So that's what we did, and that works for me. But I always have said that I would have been a business owner regardless. I could have been a hairdresser at 22 and I would have opened a hairdressing salon. It just happened that I was in real estate, and that's what I do. And while I love real estate, I actually love business more.
Yeah, right. So you're quite entrepreneurial, and we all know that now, given what you've done with your PM Collective stuff, and we'll get into that in a minute. But did you ever do sales?
No.
And can I ask why? Because you are so driven.
It's the stability, I think, the stability of the income. That drove me. And while I love the pressure, I probably don't like the financial pressure. So that wouldn't have suited me.
Yeah, and young kids and family, I guess, back at that point. So talk to me a little bit about, I've already learned two things I didn't know about you. A, you can give me a massage anytime, and B, that you studied that. So I love that. But talk to me a little bit about, you know, your journey with SoCo. So you and Bill have a great relationship in your business, and you know, you're a sizable rent roll now. Have you done acquisition? How has that grown? And at what point, like when you started, I'm assuming you were doing everything from reception to property, BDM, property management, until you got to scale. So can you talk to me maybe through some of those milestones in the business?
Yep. So we started from scratch. We both got a small business loan out, and we started paying ourselves from day one. I'm very sort of big on that. I think it's very important for startups. Then by about 6 months, we were starting to get some good traction. He did sales, I did property management, and we just sort of ran our own race. So for those that don't know, Bill's my brother-in-law. So he's married to my older sister. He's 12 years older than me. So I have known him since I was 6 years old. And when he met my sister, she was sort of 18 at the time. So that's, you know, close to pretty much a brother-like figure. And he, so we went into business. So that was always a very, very safe family option without it being too close, like without it being your brother or your sister or your mum or your dad. So that was good. We built up to about 200 properties. And then when we got to 200, we were at that stuck figure. So we did do one acquisition. So we acquired a portfolio from Nigel Satterley just for the South Perth. And there was a lot of opportunity in that business, a lot of wasted money. And so that was quite good. I don't know whether I would do another acquisition. We've talked about it, but I don't see the value personally for us. I I'm glad we've done one, but I don't think I need to do it again. So we just pretty much built our stuff. We have a very family-like environment, and that's really, I guess, where we keep a lot of staff, and we're very much family first before employees mentality. And we now have 1,000 properties. Our property management's definitely a lot stronger than our sales department, but it's still a very active sales department. And we are probably, I guess I would say, at the end of our, you know, the business journey. So as we get older, we've been in the business now. We've had the business for 18 years. It's growing really, really well. And I feel like, you know, we're at that final rat race, you know, of another 10 years or 15 years. And then we'll sort of, wind up make another business decision then. But I will definitely do more businesses. I found SoCo has been a very easy business to run, very easy for staff. I'm not that type of person that's had any pain points in business. It's been very good. And I think it's also because Bill and I are so different. We are chalk and cheese, and that's probably, while it's a frustrating thing, it's actually a good thing as well.
Yeah, well, it probably gives you really natural, like, hard lines on where your skill set is and where his skill set is. And I think, you know, that certainly definitely works for Frank and I as well. We just know each other's strengths and weaknesses, and we try not to cross and confuse the team. So on that, so tell me, that's an amazing story in itself for organic growth to 1,000. So well done. And we know you're a great BDM, and that's on my list too. There's lots of questions around that. So when did you decide to start PM Collective? How did that come about?
So that was about 3 or 4 years ago, and it came about because I had quite a few business owners, about three, who just ironically all within the same couple of weeks, and it was January and it was the start of the year, and they messaged me and said, Ash, can I just catch up? I just want to go through a few ideas I've got with business. And it was just random, like two or three people. So I said, that's cool, but would you mind if we just did it in one catch up. I've got a couple of other people that also want to have similar conversations. So they were like, yep, that's fine. So we caught up for a coffee and just had a general chin wag. And then those people said, this was so helpful. Can we do it again next month? And then they brought some more people. And then after that, we realized there were some property managers and that weren't able to leave for a coffee during the day because maybe their bosses didn't allow, sort of personal appointments, but it's a work appointment and they didn't allow it. So I was like, you know what, we should record these conversations because everyone needs to hear these conversations we're having. Let's do a podcast. And so then I just started recording it on a podcast, Googled how to do it, and then create those conversations each week so people can just listen to them in their own time. So that's sort of how the podcast started and the coffee and conversations. And then over time, like I've now been approached by people in Strata saying, Ash, Strata needs this. Can we do some Strata catch-ups? And so just introducing a few other things. The catch-ups are so good because they're more of an intimate environment. Whether there's one person that shows up or 15 people that show up, you can definitely have those safer conversations that you can't have online. And when I started about 3 years ago, or maybe it was 4 years ago, the property manager Facebook groups were quite strong and there was a lot of negativity coming out of them. I think they're better now, but back then there was a lot of negativity and it was because people didn't know each other and they didn't know where they were coming from, where they commented or gave advice, and it was just so precious. And I remember thinking, I need to get these people together because that person that made a comment that is, that everyone's getting upset about is actually a really good human being who's really giving some good advice but just not articulating it maybe the right way. So it was very much trying to create, let's just catch up in person a bit more, guys, and really support each other that way than online, where I just didn't feel like it was working well for the industry when I saw those comments.
Yeah, it was pretty awful back then. And that, I think that comes from and I know your whole approach is collaboration, not competition, and while we think salespeople have big egos, I think in the property management space, people like to think that they have all the knowledge, and it does sort of come through as a bit ego-driven as well. So PM Collective, and then you've got property profiling as well, and SoCo. So three really big, and I'm sure you've probably got more, but they're three really big projects, I guess, is the best way to put it. Tell me about you're a full-time BDM. You're a business owner and you've got property profiling and PM Collective, and you have three of your own children, six in your collective household, and you are really involved with your kids. Talk to me around I'm just sort of summarizing a couple of questions. What's your biggest work mum entrepreneur hack?
Well, it's very interesting that we're having this conversation today because The hack is really don't sweat the small stuff. Like today, it's 43 degrees. I double booked myself a couple of times. I had to reach out to a couple of people to help me. And I really just couldn't be asked driving children to school and driving back. Now, this is probably really bad advice, but I just needed a day of just chilling out. I just don't want to be in a car today. And I actually just really... I really need to focus on a couple of things. And I was feeling a bit stressed. I am feeling a bit stressed about a couple of things. So for me, I've just gone, you know what, kids, today, do you guys, want to stay at home? They're like, hell yes. And we're at home today and I'm doing all my appointments from here and just chilling out a little bit and giving permission to do that, which is very, very hard for me. And I don't do it very often. If maybe this might even be the first time, like really rare. But I'm just trying to get a little bit better at that. And I think as well, we can focus on so many things that are really, really not that important. Like, if my kids have to order canteen three times a week, it doesn't actually really matter. Or if last night I wasn't home till 6 o'clock, it's okay for everyone to have hot dogs for dinner. Like, it's not...
What's a hot dog?
No, a hot dog. Sorry, I just said it wrong.
A hot dog.
Please tell me you know what a hot dog is.
I do know what a hot dog is, not a hot dog though.
I was like, sorry, no, I said
right. Yeah.
It's just like trying not to stress myself out with that. Like, it doesn't actually really matter if we have a crap food week 1 week, because I actually really like baking and cooking. So I do a lot of cooking and stuff on the weekend and try and be prepared as I can. So that would probably be one of my hacks, would be being convenient with food. To be honest, that's probably the biggest thing, isn't it? Like, food and shopping and dinner is a real time-consuming exercise for anybody.
Oh, and a mental load that you don't need, yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things that you often say to me is, I appreciate all the advice you've given me with kids and balance and things, but I always, whenever I talk to you, I find you always calm. And I don't know if you're just like a duck on water and it's, you know, but it always comes across. And I think that's an amazing thing.
You probably should ask my children that, because I think the answer would be a little bit different. And I did have a sore throat the other day from screaming so much in the morning. I can get frustrated. So I come across as calm, but you're probably duck under water.
Yeah, but I think what you said there is key, right? Don't. Like, no one's going to die if you have hot dogs for dinner.
No.
And, in fact, your kids would probably love you even more because you had hot dogs for dinner. So it's just where's that pendulum swinging and what feels right at the time. So,
So now that you said the pendulum, I think I heard as well that someone said to me once, it's never a balance, it's always a tilt. Sometimes you tilt in favour of work and the kids are just going to have to wait, or sometimes you favour, you know, to the kids and the family and work's got to wait. And if you just learn that it's not a balance and there's always going to be one side that has to drop a little bit, that's totally fine.
No, and I think what's coming across, and it always has with you, is it's let go of perfection and just do it, you know, like that. A lot of working mums, and especially working parents that I know, are trying to be the perfect parent, the perfect salesperson, or the perfect property manager, and the perfect this and the perfect to everyone, and that's never going to ever come out well for anyone. So I just want to talk about BDM for a little bit, because there were quite a few questions. So one of the questions, and I think this is a good question for everybody, in your BDM circle, what would you do differently now if you were starting out but you knew what you know?
Oh, that's so easy. I only got my BDM at SoCo about 13, 14 months ago, and I should have hired a BDM a lot sooner. And yeah. I definitely regret not bringing a BDM in my business and not seeing a BDM as an investment as opposed to another wage or another cost. That definitely was a big mistake. And I love doing BDM. And that's what we kept on saying. Well, why would we get someone in when you like doing it and you're good at it? And I found myself, I was going very, very well, but I was not doing a very good service to my property managers when I put paperwork on their desk and had no idea of anything else and told them to work it out. I was really I was a big problem in our business by doing that. So having a BDM, I wish I had done that a lot sooner. And I still now do all our lead generation, and I pass it all on to Sam, and she handles it all because she handles it a lot more process-driven than what I would.
Yeah, and she probably doesn't have as many balls in the air as well, so she can, you know, focus on that. And, again, talking about BDM, what is your biggest source of leads?
So LinkedIn and video in general. So like YouTube, I get a lot of traction from YouTube content and LinkedIn. And it really comes down to the fact that those two platforms, they're not saturated with property management activity. I always say I'm not doing anything special that no one else is doing. All I'm doing is putting it on those two platforms while everyone else is still doing Instagram and Facebook, which I still do, but everyone's doing that. And to give you an example, I was trying to sort out my panel for an event coming up, and I was on LinkedIn and I was like, I need to find out who the big players are on LinkedIn in Perth so that I can invite them to be a panel guest. And when I went through my LinkedIn feed, I could not find anyone in Perth as I was scrolling. And I've got a big following on LinkedIn. And I found the first person that came up, I sent him a message and said, can you please be on my panel? And he said, listen, I don't think I'm fantastic at it. I said, you know what? I'm seeing you. That's the main thing. I'm seeing you on it.
Is this in the real estate space or just in general in the real estate?
Actually probably would have been in the property management space Australia wide, but I was specifically looking for WA. Yeah. Well, so it's just a space where no one's saturating the market. So it's very easy to stand out, even though you're not doing anything any more than anyone else.
Yeah, gotcha. So just a little plug for your Power Moves, which I know is coming up, and I know you plug it everywhere, but I've done some LinkedIn training as well, and I've done Carmen's on, you know, Confidence on Camera. So to put all that together in a day, people need to get onto that. I'm coming and I can't wait, but I can't stress that enough for all the other property managers and BDMs out there, even salespeople. I mean, that's open for everyone, isn't it, really? It's not even real estate based.
It's very generic for anybody. Yeah. Agents, finance brokers, sales reps, business owners, BDMs, the whole lot. Like, I think that what I love about LinkedIn and video is that it costs you nothing to do. Like, I hate spending money on marketing. And if you can just learn how to do a better video or how to use LinkedIn better, like you the skills that I learned from Carmen 3 years ago would hands down probably have been the best skills that have helped my business grow because of that confidence. And I said to Carmen the other day, if anything, I've actually probably gone a little bit too far, because I noticed on some of my videos that I've been doing, specifically on TikTok, I am looking really crap. Like, I've just rolled out of bed and my head everywhere. And I just said to Carmen, I said, I'm taking confidence to a new level. And yet no one's saying anything about my appearance, but you should be, because I look like shit. And I'm trying to pick up the game a little bit, but that's how comfortable I'm becoming. And I probably need to perfect it up a little.
Oh, but you know what? That's and again, please don't take this the wrong way, but when you're never one to glam up to go to, you know, like, obviously if I see you down the street, it's how I see you. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I look at your TikTok videos and your Instagram videos sometimes and go, oh, just got to do it. Like, it's quite motivating. Just do it. Just put the camera in front of you and do it. And I think we just all find excuses. Like, my hair's not done. My makeup's not done. The lighting's not right. I don't have enough battery left. There's like a million excuses, and I'm really big on that. So one of the questions that came through on Instagram actually was, what is next for you? So not your business, but for you yourself. Like, personally, what, you know, if you were to look at your 5 years away, where do you see yourself and what space will you be in?
That question. I would say to you that I would be definitely putting more attention. I've been trying not to make this work related, but probably putting more attention into other businesses and other business ideas that I've got. I probably would love to travel a little bit more with my kids and that type of thing. But, I mean, I love what I do every day. I'd be happy doing exactly what I'm doing now for the next 10, 20 years. So I feel like I don't necessarily need any goals, because I'm sort of like, I don't need a holiday because I only do what I want to do every day of my life anyway. So I don't need to have a break from my life because I love my life. So it's, like, my kids definitely, I think as they get older, I am looking forward to being in a position where I can potentially, you know, retire in 10 years and then give them the support that they need to start their own businesses. So in 10 years' time, they'll be like 18, 20 and 22. So I would love to be, in that position to be retired and have the time to do charity work, which I like to do, but also help them set them up in their businesses and be a support there. That's probably where I'd be quite happy to be.
Yeah, cool. Living up in Gilderton, obviously.
Yeah, now I've got a roof up. And, well, the plan is to retire up there, and that's a great place because it's only sort of, you know,
so close,
close to Perth anyway, so I can live my life up there very easily.
I love it. And I think I'll finish on this one. I'm not even sure how long we've been talking for, how much time, and does it matter? I don't think it matters. Your podcast, so whatever you want to do. But so, and I've tried to sort of surmise, because there was about 20 questions that come through, just so you know, people are very interested in, and whenever I put up a poll or questions, I never get any responses. So I felt like a rock star that people were actually responding to my little questions and polls. So I tried to surmise them and put them in groups. So we just went going backwards and forwards. But so I've got two, it's probably two parts to this question. So a couple of people have come through and the way, and I could have this wrong, but the way I was interpreting what they wanted to know is, how do you know, and this is around your entrepreneurial skills, how do you know when an idea is worth investing and pursuing?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Many real estate agents across Australia confidently refer Property Insurance Plus to their clients, as they recognise the price and benefit value of their policy combined with the client-focused service they deliver. They offer a comprehensive building and landlord insurance facility and have formed a powerhouse to present the very best in investment property insurance. Contact PIP today to find out more.
Oh, you never know. You just do it. You literally just do it and see what happens. But I think if you're doing it for the right reasons, then it will always work out. So PM Collective, that is because a support network was needed in the property management space. Nothing else mattered than that. And I could have given up a lot when it comes to like the catch-ups. And, you know, there was times where, only one time, but where no one turned up and I was there by myself having a coffee, and I looked at the positive and thought, you know what, Ash, you never get time just to sit and have a coffee by yourself. This is actually quite nice. Yeah. And then as time goes on, it builds up and now we get good numbers. But you never know. But you have to give it a go, and you can't give up after the first negative experience. You've got to keep on doing it, because the bigger picture is that it's needed in the industry. And with property profiling, same thing there. I was not doing it for money. I was not doing it for anything more, that these investors, I felt, were getting mucked around by that were buying interstate. I felt that they were getting mucked around by sales agents, and I didn't want them. I didn't want that happening. I wanted them to buy with a bit more confidence. It was never about the money. It was about them being looked after. Even if I had to do it for free, I was happy doing it for free, and I did do it for free for a while. The reason for doing these businesses has never, ever been money. Even SoCo, it never started because I wanted to have a business or have money. I did it because I wanted to have an income, but it was never about anything more. So I think that if you're starting a business for the right reason, then it will always work out. But and there's never any goals associated with them. It is just doing the right thing and continue to do it, even if it's not going as fast as what you wanted to, because I can look at the big picture and know that if it's only helping one person, then it's still a benefit of doing that. And I'm okay it only helping one person and not 100. Yeah. So that's really where my headspace is at.
And it's obviously working and worked for you. And I think it's the whole let go of the outcome and reap the income, right? Like, just do things that feel right, and which it transitions really well into that second part of that question. And it was from someone who's working under another office, and they want to start their own. And the question, it was confidentially written to me, but the question was, what would be the first step for this person that you would say, you know, make sure you've got this before you do that type of thing?
I would continue staying in my workplace, having an income while I was studying my license, for example, if I was wanting to open a real estate, and I would be doing my study in the evenings. I would be doing it quietly. I would be getting my triennial and all of the qualifications that I needed. And I would 100% say, either have some 6 months of savings for what you need to live, or go get a business loan for 6 months of expenses that include your wage. I'm really, really passionate about that because I see a lot of businesses where they don't take a wage from day one. And I just don't think that's the right way to have a business. I think you need to pay yourself if you are working. So trust that process. And I have only ever heard good stories. So study and get qualifications while you're still employed. Have the 6 months of savings or 6 month business loan and then go into it. And my other advice would be that I see more success in business owners that go into it 100%, like full time. And that's why they need to get a wage, because there was a comment on one of the communities recently where someone said, oh, should I go get a part-time job while I'm starting my business? And if you are only going to work part-time in your business, you're only going to get half the result. So if you want the results quickly, you need to go in and just trust yourself. And at the end of the day, if it doesn't work out, then you've got a little loan to pay back and you go get another job. There's plenty of jobs around. Like if you always think of what the worst case scenario is, which is really not that bad, then then at least you understand what you have to go back on. It's never a daunting process. So for me, that's what I thought when I started it. And I think at the time my loan was $30,000. And I thought to myself, well, there are other 22-year-olds out there getting car loans for $30,000. I'm in my, you know, in my little car for $1,000. So worst case scenario, it doesn't work out. I'll just go get a job and pay that money back.
Yeah. So, people are getting loans for a lot less, like, new boobs and, you know, like silly stuff. So you're right. And before we finish up, I in the next, is there any, obviously your events, is there any events that you recommend people go to this year that you've seen that you think, oh, that's a really good event, you know, because there are so many, there's a lot of noise in that space. And I was looking at the calendar going, well, I could probably go interstate for two and do maybe four local ones this year. And there was just so many to choose from. What would you recommend people do this year?
Yeah, definitely a saturated space at the moment. But I personally love the events that are either not directly real estate related. So I would say that like Life PM have got a great mental health first aid course coming up. I think that that is a must have for property managers because we need it for our tenants, our colleagues, and also our tenants and owners. So mental health first aid with Life PM, highly would recommend that. I do highly recommend video coaching. And so something a little bit non-real estate, but so important. And that confidence I would highly recommend. And then I would say, I mean, to be honest, out of all the events, I think people get great value just out of those coffee and conversation catch-ups. They're free. Yep. Cost you a coffee. It's intimate enough to have those, you know, to have those semi-private conversations. They're all around Australia. And so if you are a property manager that maybe doesn't have a business owner that pays for things, there are those options which you're going to get some really good value out of and some good tips, some good apps and things like that. So I would recommend those. They would probably be my main ones that I would suggest. But if you know, for the price conscious person, there's lots of podcasts out as well, and then the coffee and conversations. But there is a lot of noise in that event space. We don't. I've got one coming up that I'm excited about, and I don't know if you've seen it, but it was Josh Cobb's AI. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all that came through. Yeah, he always does good stuff, Josh.
He does
really good stuff. Yeah,
yeah. So I booked into that one because it's it's knowledge that we need to have in all aspects of our life as well as our work. So that AI automation is really just upskilling us.
Yeah, for sure. And you might be able to put the link in the show notes for that one for everyone. That's probably all I've got time for today. But, you know, it just goes to show with the response I had that people, you know, you are such a, you know, a figuring out, and especially over here in Perth, but I know even nationally, you know, people know who you are, and it's not because of what you do, it's because of who you are, it's because why you do it that I think has resonated with so many people. So thanks for letting me gatecrash your podcast. I just I feel like you needed your space on it, and I'm so glad we got to do today. So thanks for your time. And I can't wait to see. I hope everyone gets a lot out of that conversation, because there was some really cool things that I wrote down as well.
It was a fabulous idea, and thoroughly enjoyed it. So thank you for arranging it for me.
No problem.
MCG Quantity Surveyors are a favourite for property managers around Australia to help their clients maximise their cash flow through tax depreciation. I love how they place a strong emphasis on industry-leading education and data releases that they share with our community. And because they support the property industry so much, it is a no-brainer to use them for all your tax depreciation needs.